20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You are absolutely wonderful humans for being here and joining me today. Thank you so much for that. If this is your first time here, I hope you enjoy it. If not, get the hat. I'm just kidding. Appreciate you checking it out. Got a great show lined up for you today. We are going to be talking about potential first-round wide receivers for the Green Bay Packers. This is always an interesting topic from a variety of different viewpoints of why has Green Bay not done this in the past? Are they allergic to drafting wide receivers in the first round? Will they not do it? Is this something that is against their philosophy? We'll get into all of that today. Before we get there, not much news and notes really to discuss, other than the fact that just one small piece that the NFL has changed the Hard Knocks guidelines. And theoretically, the Packers could be on Hard Knocks this year and really anytime almost probably moving forward. So that is a interesting aspect. Remember, they have in-season Hard Knocks as well. So they could be maybe the NFC North is chosen, as the division that gets picked this year for the in-season Hard Knocks. If they are chosen for that, then they can't be in the off-season one. But there could be a real opportunity that the Packers are the team that's chosen for Hard Knocks this season. I don't know what the likelihood of that is. I'm sure they would love to have Green Bay involved. Now, Green Bay's hosting the draft. I don't know if they're trying to like spread this out in a variety of different ways. So Green Bay is hosting the draft and some other teams on Hard Knocks, and then in season is going to be a different division. And if they just kind of make it so that there's not a bunch of stuff just with one team, it's not like the draft being in Green Bay is really Packers centric. The Packers are hosting it, but there's not anything additional Packers-y towards it other than it being held right next to Lambeau Field. So I don't know. That's going to be interesting. As far as whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, I tend to believe it's probably not an ideal thing. I don't think it changes things all that much. It adds a little bit of maybe drama, some cameras, and there's just a different connotation that comes along with that. I don't know that teams are really going to learn all that much about Green Bay. I'm sure Green Bay is going to be pretty tight-lipped with it. There's a real chance. There's a real chance that Green Bay is just a very boring team to have on Hard Knocks. I am sure they would spice it up as much as possible. Matt would definitely, I'm sure, have his moments. Goody and, obviously there's the transition going on of presidents. I don't know that it would be the most entertaining team in the world. I would be willing to bet you the NFL is really going to hope that Jair Alexander sticks around because he would be probably a star in Green Bay for Hard Knocks if he is still on the team. But yeah, I think it's probably not an ideal thing. I don't think it really changes the, crux of the season in any real way or anything like that. But there is the real chance now that Green Bay could be on Hard Knocks. So that is something to keep an eye out for, whether you want them to be on Hard Knocks, whether you don't want them to be. That is your own prerogative. I would probably rather they not be on it. But from a content standpoint, from a, real like pull the curtain back a little bit standpoint, I certainly wouldn't hate that. But I think the less and the fewer distractions that you can have around the team, the better. And I think sometimes that can cause a little bit of a distraction. So I'd probably vote against it, but to each their own, I guess. But let's get into our main topic for today. And that is the topic of could Green Bay finally be in the market for a first-round wide receiver? The last one, of course, was Javon Walker many, many moons ago. And one of the questions that I get from time to time, and one of the things that's often talked about is this just part of Green Bay's philosophy that they do not believe in drafting wide receivers in round one? And to some extent, you'd have to look at it and be like, well, it has to be. This has been a long time now. You've had Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre and Jordan Love. And the last one you drafted was Javon Walker in the early 2000s. Like, that is a long period of time to not draft a wide receiver in round one. You almost would draft one by accident in that period of time, but Green Bay is not. So clearly there's some sort of overarching philosophy. I think the answer is probably somewhere in the middle. I do not believe that they would not, take a wide receiver if they were the best player available on the board. I wholeheartedly believe that they wanted one of Justin Jefferson or Brandon Ayuk in 2020 when they ultimately took and traded up for Jordan Love in that draft. I believe that they wanted a wide receiver in that draft. think that was their goal. You could say, well, then why didn't they take T. Higgins? T. Higgins is not a Packers-y type wide receiver, very low relative athletic score. The next one probably would have been Michael Pittman, who went picks later, you know, kind of early mid second round guy. My guess is that Jordan was the last first round pick on their board at that standpoint. They traded up to get him, but I think they really wanted Ayuk or Jefferson. It just did not work out that way. I'm sure they would have accepted, you know, CeeDee Lamb, some of the others that were in that draft as well, but those were long gone. Jefferson and Ayuk were kind of the last two that were really in that conversation. They both go, Green Bay goes up, trades for Jordan Love, the rest is history. But I don't think that they are allergic to it, against it, anything like that. I think in the right situation or scenario, they would clearly take a wide receiver. I do believe, and we talk about this every single offseason, that they have a hierarchy of what they're looking for in the draft. They love premium position players. And you can make an argument to them is maybe wide receiver is not a premium position for them. Now, they'll go outside of that from time to time. They've drafted a safety like Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix and Darnell Savage. They've drafted some other players like Jordy. They traded back. Jordy was still their first player selected in that draft. He wasn't a first rounder, but he was their first selection in that draft. They had a first rounder. They traded down into the second and drafted Jordy early on in that draft. But more often than not, they're looking for quarterbacks, offensive linemen, defensive tackle, defensive end, and corner. Those are the premium positions that they tend to value a little bit more. And when they're stacking their board, positional value is going to be a piece of that. It does seem to some extent that as they're stacking their board, and if, you know, like just for example, let's take positional need out of it, right? That if you had a defensive end with a 7.5 grade and a wide receiver with a 7.5 grade, the defensive end would go ahead of the wide receiver in that scenario. The corner might go ahead. The quarterback might go ahead. The offensive tackle might go ahead. And then maybe you get into the, you know, where wide receiver would rank in. But as you stack that board, and when you have grades that are equal, you're looking at then positional needs and positional value. Those are the things that get sort of, you know, as you get clusters of people, how you kind of differentiate between the players that are a little bit higher, a little bit lower on your board. And I do think that there's maybe some extent that Green Bay has wide receiver a little bit lower on that positional value totem pole, for better or worse. But I don't think there's anything, and Goody was asked about this recently and said, no, that they would absolutely consider taking wide receivers in the first round, that it's been more happenstance than anything else, that they haven't been able to select one. So I do not believe that this is something that they would avoid. And I think they would consider wide receiver just like any other position if it were the right fit, right player for the right reasons. That's, I think, number one. I don't think that there's any sort of issue there. Number two is, does Green Bay need a first round wide receiver? Take the players that are available aside. We'll go over that in just a moment. The clear answer is yes. We've talked about it all offseason. Corner, wide receiver, pass rush, offensive line. Those were the four positions of some sort of real legitimate need. Corner, Nate Hobbs. Defensive end, nothing yet. Wide receiver, Mecole Hardman, which is basically nothing at this point. You know, nice value free agent signing, but doesn't change the calculus of what you're looking for at that position. Offensive line, Aaron Banks. So wide receiver and pass rush are those two positions that they haven't really addressed yet. And you look at it both now and in the future, and you can easily make the case that wide receiver is still a need right now, something that you want to continue to address, and as you look forward and do free agency in 2026 and beyond. So this is absolutely a position where they could look at first-round wide receiver and say, hey, this actually makes some sense this year from a need standpoint to go in this direction. The state of the wide receiver room, the first thing that you have to take into consideration is Christian Watson's injury. He is likely to be out until week 13, 14, somewhere in that range, maybe week 12 if he works his way back sooner. But even when he comes back, what kind of workload can he do? What type of player is he? Is he the same 4.340 guy that he was prior to the ACL, the MCL, et cetera? Usually there's a little bit of time that it takes to sort of ramp up and kind of be back to your normal self, which is probably more 2026 in this situation. So if I'm looking at it from Green Bay standpoint, I'm basically taking Christian Watson and saying, maybe I get 5 weeks of about 20 snaps per week, maybe 100 snaps total, and I'm not counting on him to be this big-time impact player. If I get it, great, but I'm not going to count on it. I'm going to go into the offseason saying, hey, I'm going to need to replace Christian Watson this upcoming season. After Watson, you have three sort of established wide receivers, and your viewpoint of these three wide receivers may be all over the place, dependent upon if you have some level of hope and believe that they can continue to develop, or if you're just like, you know what, some of these I don't have any appetite for anymore. That's your call. But there are three wide receivers that are going to have a legitimate role on this team, and we know that for some or in some real way. Dontayvion Wicks, Jaden Reed, and Romeo Doubs. Those are your three primary wide receivers as we sit here right now. Doubs, outside possession wide receiver. Wicks, outside inside guy. Good separator, poor hands, and misses out on some big plays from time to time. Jaden Reed, playmaker, slot guy, gadget guy, also struggled with his hands this past year. That's your three core wide receivers right now. You have probably Mecole Hardman and Bo Melton that are probably fighting for a spot, kind of as that backup slot gadgety wide receiver, special teams guy. Now, Mecole Hardman is going to have the advantage there from a special team standpoint. Melton doesn't really do any returning or anything like that. So Hardman has a little bit of a leg up, but Melton's a very talented wide receiver. I think it's going to be probably an issue to kind of keep both of those guys. So I think they're probably competing against each other. Then you have Malik Heath, who's going to make a run at a roster spot for the third consecutive year. And then Julian Hicks, Cornelius Johnson, and Tulu Griffin as flyer players that if you get anything out of it, it would be just a bonus, right? But you're not expecting anything. That's the state of the wide receiver room. And as we've talked about all offseason, playmaker, deep threat, those are things that you could really use within this offense just to add a little bit of a different element than maybe Reed, Wicks, or Doubs currently brings to the table at that wide receiver position. Now, what Green Bay does not need at wide receiver, which I think is an important piece of this, is a slot gadget, just non-outside wide receiver. I'll put it that way. This is one of the hard parts and why sometimes you see some of these slot wide receivers go a little bit later in the draft. When once you get one of those that's sort of established, you kind of only have room for one on the field at a time. Now, if you're in four wide receiver sets, you can go slot, you can do some bunch stuff, but especially in Matt LaFleur's offense, there's kind of only room for that one guy, which is why you don't see a ton of Bo Melton and Jaden Reed together on the field at the same time. You see a little bit, but it's usually not very often. You usually want kind of that deep threat, possession wide receiver, slot gadget guy. And with Jaden Reed, that slot gadget guy is kind of taken. They've really not played Reed on the outside at all. That is his role. And then you add on top of that, Mecole Hardman, Bo Melton, both slot guys. Hardman would be more in that slot gadget guy sort of realm. We talked about it being more like a Tyler Irvin type signing when they picked him up. He's in that sort of same vein. Again, Bo Melton sort of in that same vein. You play Dontayvion Wicks in the slot as well. That's another player that's going to play in the slot. When Watson's back, he can play some in the slot. Kraft and Musgrave can go in the slot. Like, you don't really have any need, desire, or anything for any more slot wide receivers. You're sort of set, especially just with Reed and Wicks. Like, those guys are good slot receivers. So you don't really need that. You don't necessarily need a possession type wide receiver. You have that in Doubs. Watson is a little bit of that when he comes back. Dontayvion Wicks can be a little bit of that. Malik Heath can be that. You don't necessarily need that either. What you need is an outside wide receiver that has the ability to win deep or just be a great outside wide receiver. You would take either of those things. So as we go through the list of potential wide receivers, keep that in mind. They don't need another slot guy. That's something that is probably completely off the table for Green Bay in the first day, first 2 days of the draft. That's not the type of wide receiver they're looking for. What Green Bay does need, as I mentioned, is speed on the outside, playmaking, and the ability to win down the field. That's what you're looking for. So those are your needs and not needs at wide receiver. As you also look ahead to 2026, we mentioned this briefly, but it's worth noting Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, both unrestricted free agents. Malik Heath and Bo Melton, as we just talked about, are not guaranteed anything. Mecole Hardman will be an unrestricted free agent. So you look ahead to 2026 right now, and the only wide receivers that you can say with a level of confidence will be on the team in a year are Dontayvion Wicks and Jaden Reed. So this is a position that you're not just looking at in 2025, but there could be some legitimate needs to develop a wide receiver or two so that they're ready to go in 2026 with Reed and with Dontayvion Wicks as well. So the easy piece of this is that there are five wide receivers that are considered to be possibilities in round one. There's not really anyone else. And sometimes a player can sneak in. There's nobody outside of these five in Daniel Jeremiah's top 50 prospects at wide receiver. So if you're going to draft a wide receiver in round one, it is almost assuredly going to be one of these five players: Travis Hunter, Matthew Golden, Emeka Egbuka, Tet McMillan, and Luther Burden III. Those are your five. Those are your five wide receivers that you could consider taking in round one. We can narrow this down even more because we know Travis Hunter isn't going to be anywhere near pick 23. He's going to be probably a top three guy, at worst the top five, in an insane world, a top 10 guy, but he's going top five. So we can take him off the board for Green Bay as we have this discussion today. So four guys: Golden, Egbuka, McMillan, and Burden. Those four are who we're going to break down today. No other receivers in the top 50. Travis Hunter out of the equation. Four wide receivers that could make sense. As we kind of look at what Green Bay looks at wide receiver and sort of try to narrow this down, here's the usual thresholds that they look at. This is per the Green Bay draft guide in 2024. Make sure you check it out in 2025 as well. And they do an unbelievable job. Ross Uglum, Jacob Morley, Jacob Westendorf, those guys just do unbelievable work. It's an absolute must-have draft guide. The wide receiver thresholds, this is per, again, the 2024 version: 5'11", 195, a 4.57 40-yard dash, a 7.08 three-coner better, and they also look at productivity at the position. Well, 5'11", Golden's 5'11", Egbuka is 6 foot tall, Luther's 6 foot tall, Tet McMillan's 6 foot four. All of them check the boxes. 195 or higher, Egbuka's 202, Tet's 219, Luther's 206. The only one that doesn't quite get there is Golden, who's 191. He's 4 pounds off. He hits the 5'11 mark. It's not going to be a deal breaker. He's good too. Maybe slightly below that Mendoza line, but I wouldn't lose any sleep over it. 4.57 40-yard dash. McMillan was the closest, but he still hit 4.53. Egbuka was at 4.48. Golden was at 4.29. Luther was at 4.41. They all hit the 40-yard dash guideline. 7.08 RAS. 7.08 three-coner better. Nobody really did it. Egbuka was the only one who actually did testing. So that's a little bit of a different animal than the other ones. He did not do the three-cone at all. I needed to double-check that. So none of the four wide receivers did the three-cone. So it makes it a little bit tougher to narrow it down. Luther, for sure. Egbuka, Golden, I think they would all do fine in the three-cone. Tet McMillan's a little bit different, a little bit bigger body, a little bit more tight-hipped. So I'm not sure he would have passed that. But for now, we can't eliminate any of them for that because none of them did the testing in it. From a productivity standpoint, all four of them probably checked the box in some way. Golden probably had the least productivity of the four, but he still this year had 58 catches, 987 yards, and 9 touchdowns. So it's not like he was, you know, completely useless or anything like that. Like, that's still a pretty solid season. But he had 38, 584, and 7, 38, 404, and 6, and 58, 987, and 9 as his three seasons. That was probably the worst. You know, Egbuka this year had 81 for 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. It's great productivity. Not the previous year, but the year before that, he had 74 for 1,151, a 15.6-yard average and 10 touchdowns that year. So he's had some really good productivity. Tet McMillan, this past year, 84 receptions, 1,319 yards, 15.7 yards per catch, 8 touchdowns. The year before that, 90 catches, 1,402 yards, 15.6-yard average, 10 touchdowns, 57-yarder for a long. Even the year before that, 39 catches, but 702 yards, 8 touchdowns, and an 18-yard average. So he has consistently put up numbers. And then Burden, a little bit of a down year this year, 61 for 676 and 6 touchdowns. But the year before that, 86 catches, 1,212 yards, 14.1 yards per reception, and 9 touchdowns. They all probably hit the productivity score, or at least enough productivity to be considered. All of them have the height, weight, speed that they're looking for. We don't know the three cone. So I think you can kind of look at these four wide receivers and say, historically, for the trends that they look at, Golden, Egbuka, Tet McMillan, and Luther Burden all check enough boxes to say they could be in play for the Packers in some real way. Now, what I want to look at next is how they would fit and would they be available at pick 23. All right, so let's start with the how would they fit? Matthew Golden is a outside wide receiver that can also play in the slot. They moved him all around from an outside and slot standpoint. They didn't like put him in the backfield or anything like that. As I mentioned, came on this past year a little bit more, especially towards the end of this past year. Speed guy, has really good hands. Is surprised he was a 4.29 40 guy. So when you kind of think of the 4.29 40, you're immediately thinking just speed, 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 speed. What I would actually argue is I didn't think Golden quite played to that speed, but was a very solid overall wide receiver. Just good, sound, did everything well, plucked the ball out of the air, good hands, good routes, good releases. And again, can play outside and in the slot, 4.29 40, run after the catch ability, pretty good contact balance, does pretty much everything well. That's Matthew Golden. Would he fit on the outside in Green Bay? Yes. Would he bring a speed element? Yes. Can he separate? Yes. Run good routes? Yes. Is he an effort blocker? Yes. Like, he sort of checks the boxes. Emeka Egbuka is probably the one that you look at and say, I have a harder time projecting this one as a member of the Packers. Primary slot guy all day, every day. Now, one of the things I really wanted to look at was, is there one of these red herrings here of like, could we be missing something? And could he actually be a really good outside wide receiver? I went and compared him, by the way, and his athletic profile is nearly identical to Justin Jefferson. It is almost spooky. It is uncanny. So I went out and I went and watched his tape from 2024 first. And then after that, I went out for the last couple seasons and watched all of his snaps as an outside wide receiver. Can you play him out there? Yes. Is there the potential that he could be an outside receiver? Sure. He's a slot wide receiver. That's his primary objective. That's his primary duty. You even use him as an H-back a little bit. I think you can move him all around, but this is more of like the Jaden Reed where it's going to be like 80, 90% in the slot with maybe 10 to 20% on the outside. He can do it, but he's not a primary outside wide receiver. I do not believe that he will be in play for Green Bay at pick 23. I don't think that's the direction that they're going to go in because I do think he's more of a slot wide receiver. Ted McMillan, outside wide receiver, 6'4", gigantic. Drake London is a name that comes to mind when you watch him play. Yeah, I've heard a little bit of Mike Evans. I don't really see Mike Evans. We'll talk about some of the pros and cons in just a moment. I do feel like he struggles with physicality a little bit, but he's a great contested catch receiver because of his size. He can separate from time to time. He's not a like terrible route runner or anything like that. He's an interesting piece, but here's the big thing. He does win outside. He's an outside wide receiver. You can play him in the slot. In fact, I do kind of like him in the slot as that big bodied receiver that you can get the ball to, but he's an outside guy and you feel good about that. You feel good that you can play him on the outside, that he can win some of those balls, like fits with Jordan Love, right? Just giving Jordan a huge catch radius and being able to be somebody that if you get into some trouble, you can kind of throw the ball to and give him that 50-50 jump ball scenario. He could make some real sense for Green Bay. And then Luther Burden, this is the tough one as well. You go out on Daniel Jeremiah's page and says, you know, Luther Burden is a dynamic slot receiver or something like that. If that's the case, we talked about, it's probably a non-starter. I watch Luther Burden and I believe he can be a do-it-all wide receiver. I'll just spoil it now. He was my favorite wide receiver in this draft. We'll take Travis Hunter out of this for the moment because that's a different animal altogether. But of this group, and yeah, I'm assuming there's not going to be anyone probably later in the draft that I like more, I loved Luther Burden. The name that came to mind, this is before I read, I always do my own notes first, every single time. That's why this is a painstaking process for me. I will not read anything about a player until I've had the opportunity to watch him first. The name that kept coming to mind for me as I was watching this player, Luther Burden, was Stephon Diggs. Over and over and over, I saw Stephon Diggs. And as I get to the end of it, I'm thinking, maybe that's a little too rich. Maybe that's too much. Maybe it's not quite Stephon Diggs. And then I go and read Daniel Jeremiah's breakdown. Player that he reminds him of, Stephon Diggs. There's some real Stephon Diggs to his game, outside, inside. There's an artistry to his game as well. I love Luther Burden. I think you can line him up everywhere, outside, slot, gadget. They put him in the backfield. Now, it's probably still a little bit less than ideal because I do think he's a very good slot wide receiver. And again, Jaden Reed is sort of occupying that space. Wicks can play there, etc. But I do believe he has the ability to play on the outside predominantly, and I don't have any concern over that either. So I think he could still be in play there as well. But I would probably take Igbuka off the board and say it's probably not the guy that kind of makes the most sense. And then Burden, you have to make that determination of, is he a slot guy? And if so, you might take him off as well. And I think Golden and McMillan would be the two that you would consider in that scenario. But what about, are they actually going to be there? I went and pulled up four random mock drafts. First one I looked at, Tet was gone at 12, Golden was gone at 18, Burden went 31, Igbuka went 39. So they would have had the opportunity to draft Burden and Igbuka in that scenario. Tet and Golden would have been gone. And the next one I looked at, Tet was gone at 12 again, Golden was gone at 18, Igbuka went at 25, and Burden was not in the first round mock. So once again, Igbuka and Burden were there, Golden and Tet were gone. Next one, Tet at 18, Golden at 20, Igbuka at 32, Burden was not drafted in the first round. So Igbuka and Burden in that situation. And then the other one I looked at, Golden went 12, McMillan went 18, Burden and Igbuka did not go in the first round. As of right now, it seems that Igbuka and Burden would be there. It seems like Golden and McMillan will be gone. That's not a foregone conclusion either. Never quite know. Sometimes a player falls. And McMillan is the really tough read here as to whether or not he could be available in round one and as to whether or not, you know, Green Bay would have the appetite for taking him at 23. It's worth noting that Goody went and watched McMillan at his pro day and made sure that he was there to watch him. I think he's such a unique player that he's a player that you want to get a real bird's eye view on to see what he looks like in person and if he can be that guy, because he's such an interesting prospect. But to me, there's a real chance McMillan and Golden are gone. Burden and Igbuka are there. Don't think they'll take Igbuka. Does that leave Luther Burden? Is 23 a little bit too rich? For me, it is not. In fact, I'm going to have probably a higher grade than that. But then the big question becomes, do you view him as a slot guy? And if so, again, it's a non-starter. So you could end up in a scenario where McMillan and Golden, the two kind of outside wide receivers, are gone. Igbuka doesn't fit what they're looking for because he's a slot wide receiver. And you have to make the determination, is Golden good enough to pick at 23? Sorry, is Burden good enough to pick at 23? And, you know, do you view him as an outside wide receiver? If so, then he would be the one that's in play. As far as my rankings, I have Burden number one, Golden two, McMillan three, Igbuka four. That's where I'm currently at. If you want to just kind of go through some of my notes really quick, these are not like a full scouting report. It's not entirely finished. We may go through some of these. These are my notes. Luther Burden, I'll start with first. Varies his route speeds incredibly well. Can use him out of the backfield and all over as a wide receiver. Very shifty after the catch. Punt return type skills. Never looks stressed. Always calm and collected. Very natural playing the position. Great in scramble drill situations. Clean release game. Contested catches are there. Plucks the ball out of the air. Separation. Run after catch. 4.440 speed, has artistry to his game, runs a beautiful slot fade. Run blocking is a problem, but really love the stuff that I saw from Luther Burden on tape. Matthew Golden, natural hands catcher, can play outsider in the slot, very fluid, complete wide receiver, great speed after the catch. Doesn't show 4.2940 on tape, but he is very fast. Natural receiving ability, good change of speed within the route. Good route runner, will get more nuance with his route running and releases in the pros. Willing blocker on the outside, fast but not super dynamic in any phase of the game. Capable of coming up with contested catches, plays bigger than his height. He should come in and make an impact right away. Has the ability to develop into a nice number two at minimum, and should be a really good, has the ability to develop into a number one wide receiver, but at minimum should be a really good number two and sooner rather than later. Tet McMillan, concentration drops on tape, will get flustered with physicality, not as efficient in contested catch situations as I would like. At times he's phenomenal in contested catch situations, and you'll see some of the best contested catches from anyone from McMillan. There are times though with the physicality, the more physical you get with him, the tougher time that he has with it. So it's sort of a love hate with the contested catches there. I'll just put it that way. Can see some of the Drake London comparisons, like him lined up inside in the slot as a big move piece, almost like a move tight end, but obviously skinnier and more movable. Fantastic wingspan and size, and definitely is a tough cover for most corners. Crafty after the catch, would like to see him be more precise with his routes. Keeps working after the catch, knows how to exploit zone coverage, does a great job coming back to the ball, sells double moves with head, eyes, and change of speed. That was McMillan. And then Igbuka. Slot wide receiver, also used a little bit in almost an H-back role, used outside sparingly, lots of schemed up plays, Tough to tell releases route running with the way that they utilized him at Ohio State. Will have some concentration drops. Not the most dynamic player after the catch. Feels like Green Bay has players who can fill this role already in Reed and Wicks. Not an outside deep threat. Not a burner after the catch, despite the good testing. Not a big contested catch guy. Not a great separator. Feels more like a second round pick than a first round pick to me. Did have the 972 relative athletic score at the 4.48 40. 6'2", 202. Good vert. Good short shuttle. Testing looks fantastic. Didn't quite see that type of player on tape. Almost as an identical athlete as Justin Jefferson, as mentioned. Gives effort as a blocker. Great job coming back to the ball. Loses his balance. Still think he's a bit gadgety, but overall a very interesting prospect. Those are my views of the wide receiver. You can take him or leave him. Do with him what you will. But that's how I kind of view the four in order. Again, Burden first. After Burden is Golden. After Golden is Tet. And after Tet is Egbuka. If I had to rank these from most likely to least likely, not taking draft position into consideration, I think they might like Tet the most. I think they're going to like Golden as well. And then Burden and Egbuka are tougher to say, and I don't think they're going to be in the market for Egbuka in round one. So I think Tet or Golden, if they were there, would be legitimate options. The question becomes, is anyone actually there from those two, Tet or Golden at 23? I tend to lean no today. Tet maybe, but probably not. Golden, I don't think so. Then would they go Luther Burden? If not, you're going to get to another season where they do not spend a first-round pick on a wide receiver. And if I were betting today, I think that that's the case. I think they probably go defensive line, defensive tackle, something like that. But I would not rule it out entirely. And if it is one, Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, or Luther Burden would be one of the three that I think they could go with in round one. I will say that their primary targets are gone. If you told me today, though, that they ended up with a wide receiver in round one, I would probably tell you it was Tet McMillan. I don't think Burden's quite going to be their type. I think Golden's going to be gone, and I could see Tet falling. I could see Brian having some level of interest in his services. Who would you take? Let me know in the comments below. I would love to know if you're interested in any of these four wide receivers, if you'd like to see them just go in an entire different direction and maybe attack wide receiver later in the draft. As I mentioned, I'm a big Luther Burden guy. Would have no issue with them taking him at pick 23. I think he's going to be a stud. I think he would fit in very well within the offense, and I think you can use him in a variety of different ways. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Conner, Carlo Delgado, and Willie Winkle Stinkle. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.